This is Blue Wire.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. Today is a very special day. It is the draft lottery. We get to find out exactly how screwed or how lucky we are moving forward. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. We're live on Twitch for the first time in the history of the podcast. Through much consternation and a real quick turnaround for me learning how to stream on Twitch. I did kind of the ultimate noob move. And I literally Googled, how do you do a stream on Twitch?
You know what? It's a new move, but it's actually a pretty good way to go about things. I find Googling stuff is helpful. I know this is a revolutionary statement, but I think it's handy. So yes, shout out to everybody that is tuning in live, who is looking at our reactions and just the new experience for our podcast people. This should be relatively normal. Maybe a few more pauses and little breaks of terror as we try to see what's happening. For those that are listening, I will describe this, but I got the Sexton whiskey going on today as a little bit of a good luck for us. And hopefully I'll be drinking in celebration instead of despair.
Yeah. Are you going to do the shots per slot dropped, or are you a fraud?
I'm going to do the shots for every slot dropped. I have a different bottle of that. I'm going to go with rum for that little bit of bamboo action for you guys. So I'm really, really hoping that I'm going to be drinking out of celebration. But you know what? Everything's on the table. So we'll see where it goes from there.
I'd like to note that people are shitting on my office. And listen, we just moved in. I haven't had time to swag it out like Justin clearly has swagged his out. You know, no Cavs posters, no Winnipeg Jets posters, no Bombers posters. But you know what? I got my wife's diploma in the shot. So, you know, I'm proud of my wife, which I don't see anything from Justin.
Well, okay.
Yeah. To his wife. So
actually, you know what? Her diploma is up there. But most of the accomplishments behind me are, either me or the Cavs. We got a piece.
What are your accomplishments back there?
So we got me going to provincials for golf. We got me going to provincials for basketball.
What are provincials, regionals, but for Canada?
It's like going to state kind of thing. Oh, that's nice. And then we also got a piece of the Cavs championship floor from 2016.
Which, oh, really? You bought that?
Yeah.
How
got
much
one
was
of
it?
I can't remember. I can't even remember what we talked about last week. So that's what I got going on. A bit of Cavs artwork from Mike McGrath, Austin Carr to Kyrie. We'll have to add Kevin Love and RJ Barrett to that. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, it's lottery day. We are about 20 minutes out from actually starting to reveal some stuff. We're doing a bit of our own little pre-show here. And I give us about 15 minutes before we start just anxiously stop. Well, first off, we never listen to each other. That's a big part of our chemistry. But we'll really stop listening to each other and start eyeing the screen. But I've always said that if you can listen to Adam Silver be interviewed by Rachel Nichols before the lottery, or you can listen to two morons as they slowly get drunk talk about the lottery, I think you're always going to choose the latter.
Well, I don't know. I'm seeing Woj on the screen right now, and he's bringing the sex appeal. But I feel like this is going to be the most attentive I've ever been to, just because there is a camera keeping me honest. Like, yeah. I'm not going to be scanning Twitter. So this is going to be a different level of engagement. But I want to start things off talking about our new head coach, Beilein.
Beilein.
No, we're going with Bay. That is a Mac Daddy we got there. A bit of a surprise hire. The Cavs did a very, very thorough coaching search, and we did not hear his name come up. Some of that might have to do with the fact that the last time his name came up in coaching news and that the interview leaked, he pulled himself out of contention for the Detroit Pistons job. So it seemed like the Cavs didn't want to do that. Kobe Altman had an interview with him. Dan Gilbert came for the second interview, and we got a head coach. So Carter, I know you're a little less happy than I am with our guy, but I'm pretty excited. Like I didn't know with any of the names that were mentioned whether or not these guys are going to be good head coaches. They're all first-time head coaches. And to me, after doing a little bit of preliminary research, this seems like as safe of a bet as anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think you are of the opinion that it's not terrible because you find the people who are of the opinion that it's terrible annoying.
That's part of it. But here, before you continue, the other part is I don't think we know what we're talking about when we're talking about current head coaches in the NBA. Forget someone that has never coached at the NBA level. So for me, I'm willing to give him a little bit more benefit of the doubt. And a lot of non-Cavs fans seem to like it and to at least say, hey, out of guys that run college teams, his system should transfer the best to the NBA. So for that reason, I'm kind of willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I'm not trying to not give it a shot. I think, like, a big part of it for me is that I just know that there was a conversation in the Cavs front office where, Kobe Altman was like, I just think Jordy Fernandez from the Nuggets was just this really, really impressive interview. And Dan Gilbert was just like, who the fuck is Jordy Fernandez? We can hire Beeline? I want him.
Man, part of it, there is a connection between Beeline and Mike Gainsey, who is kind of the number two under Kobe. And to me, I'm guessing that that was kind of where the pitch came from, where the kind of push from that. The other thing that's encouraging to me, so I think the Cavs kind of did learn from one of their mistakes in 2014. And that's, if you are going to hire a lead assistant, I at least like that Beeline's going to be involved in the search for him. He's going to find a guy that works well with him. He's going to interview with him rather than with David Blatt and Tyronn Lue. They were announced at the same time. And it was basically, we're hiring our first choice and our runner up. And that just creates such a bad environment that I feel with Beeline getting to pick whoever his assistant is going to be in being involved in that process, I think it's a more likely opportunity for those two guys to work together, for him to mentor a younger coach, and for that relationship to be a little healthier.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I actually think hiring the replacement in the wings is going to work really well for the Lakers. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if you are going to hire a college coach who's only ever worked in college, like, I'm not saying it can't work. Like, I mean, as much as we like to shit on Brad Stevens for being overrated by NBA Twitter, who can definitely see themselves in him a little bit.
Right.
He has been a very, very good coach. You know, it's been up and down. You know, Quinn Snyder has been really good. Fred Hoiberg, who everyone was sure was going to be a great pro coach, has been a disaster. So it's really kind of hard to judge, but I'm not ruling it out. And I do think that at the least, it seems like the guy has done a lot of mellowing out as he's gotten older, which is a really good sign, because these weird rules and archaic ways of looking at things, like, it's just not great.
Yeah, well, how long ago? So for those that don't know, there was a story about him not liking players having earrings. And I think that was like 2006 or something like that. I think he's
progressed a little bit. Right?
Yeah, so I think that it's a good sign that there's been some leniency there. Hopefully there is, because otherwise it's going to be a rough transition. And this isn't going to be the same thing as LeBron and David Blatt, where you have David Blatt with this massive ego and kind of a resistance to being a new coach. It's going to be interesting to see if Beeline embraces that the same way like a Steve Kerr did when he first became a head coach. But I do think that it's a little bit of a different dynamic when you don't have the pressure cooker of LeBron James in the locker room.
Yeah, I think that's really that's kind of what the big difference, because I kind of still think Blatt, maybe there's a world in which Blatt survives without this insane amount of media attention. I mean, guy was high key unlikable, and I don't know how you work around that long term, but like, Beeline is really well liked by just about everyone. Mm-hmm. Michigan, Adam Eaton in the chat just mentioned that Michigan fans are gutted that he left. I'm sorry, Malcolm said that they're absolutely gutted about leaving, and that, that passes one of my more important tests, which is like, if you lose someone and the opposing fan base doesn't care, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, so true.
The fact that they do really care and players seem to like this guy, that matters. But before we continue talking, I'd just like to note that Bro It Up 13 is shitting on the color of the wall in my office. And listen, man, I bought the house 3 months ago, painted the whole thing except this room in my room. Give me some time, huh? Well, actually, I want to note, you probably won't be able to tell, but the walls, it's this purpley substance that has like glitter in it. I think the people who lived here were hippies. And I don't know what to do about that.
You know what? It could be worse. I want to give a shout out to our boy Mike in the Discord. When he moved into his place, the previous owner was a big Lakers fan, and the basement was painted in Lakers.
Oh, ew. I've gone on this before, but I'm so opposed to the concept of like a man cave in the first place. So to take it up like 9,000 notches makes me feel ill.
Another shout out to our guy, Laz, who points out that Beeline, 66-year-old white guy. I think if 66-year-old white guys were more flexible to change, I think the world would be in a better place right now.
I want to know, Justin, real quick.
Yeah.
Triple digits, 100 viewers. That's really cool. I think that's really cool. Awesome, guys. And the part where we're going to be really pathetic hasn't even started yet. So that's a good sign.
But in terms of what I do like about him, the encouraging thing is, one, he runs very few post-ups, at least for college basketball.
Dude.
A lot of ball screens, above average there. A lot of pick and roll, which is kind of the bread and butter.
The bed and breakfast.
The bed and butter. I mean, I don't know how you get down in bed, but I always get butter. If you want to sponsor us, any margarine companies out there, you go ahead. But that's important, and there's a lot of three-point attempts. So at least it seems like he wants to run a modern offense and an NBA offense. I think getting the right assistant in place to help him transition the NBA and his willingness to kind of let players do their own thing at times, because that's a big, big part of the NBA. You can't be a control freak to the same degree that you were in college. I think that's kind of going to be what determines whether or not he's successful early on. And locking him up for 5 years. I mean, I think he's 3 years away from being a very nice age for a head coach.
Well, he's 2 years away from, or he's 3 years away from being a Tyronn Lue offer from the Lakers. So, I don't know, man. I understand why this could work. And I do think the fact that he runs a fairly modern offense matters. I went to the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
With some friends for a bachelor party, and I saw Wisconsin run around 47 straight plays to set up an Ethan Happ post up 30 feet from the rim. And boy, it wasn't fun. The fact that I also got to see Michigan beat the shit out of just about everyone, shooting a ton of threes, running a lot of high pick and rolls, some pick and pops. I mean, the guy clearly understands modern concepts, and I think that kind of plays into why his teams have been successful, even though he doesn't always get the best recruits, which is kind of a good sign. Like, you want guys who are able to maximize talent and find ways to win when you're at a talent deficit.
Right, exactly. He took a bunch of guys that were not considered to be top 100 recruits or were kind of fringe top 100 recruits, and he turned them into first round picks. And the other thing that's encouraging is he adapted his system based on whatever talent he was able to get. He's not a Krzyzewski. Oh my goodness, I can't say it. Coach K.
Man, the shots are already doing work.
Exactly. He's not a guy that players come to him and you get to say, okay, I'm going to run my system. You guys are going to run my system no matter what. And because he wasn't in one of those positions, he wasn't a cult-like leader in college basketball. What he had to do was adapt to whatever talent he got, whatever recruit came there. So I think that's really, really encouraging.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you. I do want to go back to our chat, Adam Eaton, mentioning he doesn't like RJ with the buzz cut, and I have to agree. Your thoughts?
It's not a good look. I'm already feeling a little shaky.
Very skinny face.
He does have a very skinny face. And you know what?
As someone who has a famously tall face with not a lot of width, I sympathize. You can't buzz cut, bro.
I appreciate what he's doing here, though, because there was a report earlier today that if Atlanta lands at number two or three, they don't like RJ Barrett. They're not taking Ja Morant. They likely lean towards Culver. And if RJ is just helping his cause to fall to four for us, I really appreciate what he's doing right now, because that haircut is not getting – that haircut doesn't scream top two pick. And I'm very happy about that, because he's angling. He knows how badly this Rowan needs that Rowan on the Cavs.
Oh, that's cute, Justin. worth noting, Packer Canada just asked us as well, how happy are you, Justin, that the Beeline hire guarantees that your boy, Sauce Castillo, is going to be the 15th man?
I mean, what can I say? I'm very happy. I want him on the end of the bench. I want as many Canadians as we can get here. So let's stack the roster. Let's get Sauce back. And finally, a coach that knows how to maximize my boy Sauce. We'll get him playing like a first round pick again.
Yeah. Was he seventh overall? Is that where he landed?
He was an eighth. He's part of the legion of eighth overall picks that we had this year with Marquise Chris and Brandon Knight.
And Colin.
And our boy, Colin.
Your boy, Colin. Which, by the way, wearing my my Sexton Love and Pick and Roll t-shirt that you can buy in the Blue Wire store and support the pod.
Very good plug. Very good plug. I do appreciate
it. Very natural. This whole podcast was actually just set up to do that. Adam also mentioned best thing about Beeline is that there's no more Longobardi.
Yeah.
What if they bring him back?
Oh, man, that would be very, very discouraging. I kind of like the idea of JB Bickerstaff as the assistant coach, because I think you're going to have a hard time to get anybody to believe that he's going to be the coach in waiting. Like, I think that feels more like an assistant, because nobody's like dying to get him as the head coach. And I think he can do some good things as an assistant. I really hope that the Cavs are able to retain Mike Garrity, because he was really, really instrumental in the kind of renovation of the jump shot for Colin Sexton and Jetty Osman. So I hope that they can hang on to him, because that, especially when you look at how many players here kind of have a questionable jumper or one that needs a little bit of work, it would make me feel a lot better about our ability to develop them.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where it wasn't entirely a lost season as much as we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Where there was like some actual legitimate growth and some important spots that seemed to be spurred on by the coaching staff. So it's like, and on one hand, like, yeah, we're excited to jettison Longobardi, and, you know, Larry Drew obviously like was not probably in for the long haul, even though he ended up doing a much better job than I think any of us expected.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there is a chance that turnover burns the guys that were doing really, really good work. So, you know, I think that ideally they'll keep a few guys on the staff that have impressed. But, you know, ultimately this team is going to have to prove that they're competent long term. You know, Trevor Magnotti, our draft buddy, who I'm sure we'll have on next week, or we'll beg him to really break down a few picks that the Cavs can look at based on where they land, because he actually knows what the fuck he's talking about. But he was talking about how he kind of is excited to let dumb teams make dumb decisions. Like,
yeah,
like, you know, all this talk that the Knicks are infatuated with Reddish. But mm-hmm. like, I read that thinking, like, what if the Cavs are one of the dumb teams? We don't know. We really still don't know. And we don't know how involved Dan Gilbert's going to be in this process. And I almost feel like the further they fall, the more likely Dan, like, I that's more why I want the Cavs to pick top three.
Yeah.
It's not just because I want a really good prospect. It's like the more, like when you get in five or six, then it's just like Dan can fall in love with someone in an interview and justify taking him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he does go that route, I would hope that it's like a Kobe White or a Clark. But there's no guarantees with Dan. We have seen enough times that the Cavs are very willing to go off the board. Although it should be noted that the last time the Cavs really went off the board with Anthony Bennett, Dan was advocating for Oladipo. And that's one of the few times where he really should have meddled, because that would have made a big difference. So let's hope if he does end up meddling, and if he did end up meddling in the coaching search, which I know a few people are of the opinion that that's a very real possibility, hopefully it's one of the good ones, because it's not like this guy is a complete idiot. But if you're a process over results kind of guy, I can see why you're a little bit concerned that if he, in fact, was not letting Kobe Altman make a decision. Also, our boy, David Griffin, walking onto the stage right now. And
I'd love to see it.
It's I'm not looking forward to rooting against him today. I mean, I want nothing but the best, but I hope they jump up into the lottery just one spot behind us.
Yeah, I don't think people all the way understand how likely it is that the Pelicans are going to have Zion Williamson next year. There's like three teams that would absolutely trade their first pick for Anthony Davis, and that could win the lottery. And David Griffin, if he's running the Pelicans smartly, will absolutely take Zion Williamson, as that's a better prize than anyone else can offer by like several degrees of magnitude. And, you know, sometimes when you think that, okay, well, that offer's too good, but if you can't beat the next best offer with what you already have, you kind of have to put it out there. So if you're the Lakers or you're the Knicks and you know Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are coming, yeah, you're going to throw that pick in there. So
yeah, absolutely.
Pelicans' own odds, which are not shabby with the new lottery odds, you know, there's a really, really good chance that he ends up traded there. And boy, is that depressing. And that takes with just a few minutes away from the actual picks being drawn.
Ooh, boy.
I'm stressed.
I'm very stressed. So,
let's talk about this, though.
It's going to be interesting because we're going to get more of a heads up on where the Cavs are picking than we normally would early on, just because more teams have an opportunity. So
that's a very good point. We're going to know teams are jumping. Shit.
Exactly.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
You want 14 and 10 to go chalk, because if Miami is pick 14, immediately you know Boston or Philadelphia has a top four pick.
Oh, man. So every time. Yeah, I really wasn't thinking about that. I should have known. But like, it's going to feel worse and worse and worse every time we see a team jump.
Exactly. So you got to hope that it goes chalk as long as possible, because if you're getting to like 8 and nobody's jumped, all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, the Cavs might actually have a good pick here. So you're going to know a lot earlier on. So obviously 10 to 14 is where we're really hoping that we see absolutely no surprises. Because once one or two of those teams jump up, I don't know how many times you've played Tankathon, but that usually means it's a disaster.
Yeah. I mean, you've said it plenty of times. I think people really still haven't had it sink in just how penalizing these new odds are. The Cavs are 6% more likely to pick sixth than they are to pick first. They are 14% more likely to pick fifth than they are to pick first. So even though they were tied for the best odds for first, it's not all roses here. And
yeah, all the best odds come with a 48% chance that you're going to fall to either fifth or further. And we kind of insulated ourselves a little bit that we're going to stay at 5 or 6 rather than falling to 7. Thank God for that coin flip, because 7 would be really depressing. But I mean, realistically, it's a coin flip. It's a coin flip whether or not you get 5 or 6. And I know everyone wants to talk about staying in the top 2 or 3 here, but really it's whether or not you're staying in the top 4 or if you're at 5 and 6. That's the 50-50 proposition right there.
4 really does feel like the line of demarcation where we're going to have a hard time swallowing picking 5th or 6, because you almost certainly will only get to choose between one of Jarrett Culver or DeAndre Hunter. And more likely Hunter would be on the board at that point. And, you know, that just starts, you know, I don't know about you, but I think we're both pretty in the tank for obviously Zion, obviously RJ. We both believe in Culver because Trevor's talked him up so much to us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Trevor.
Yep. And really those three are the ones that I see that I say, man, I really want this guy on this version of the Cavs. You know, Morant is problematic for a lot of reasons. Garland is problematic for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. So you kind of need things to break right here. This is, it's really tough.
If you're at 6, you want the Knicks and Bulls to be kind of in that 4 or 5 spot, because there's connections for Garland to Chicago. We've seen a few people kind of allude to that. Knicks really like Cam Reddish out over a lot of the guys outside of the top 3. So if those two teams are there and all of a sudden Garland and Reddish are off the board, then maybe you have a chance at taking Culver at six or taking Hunter. Like, it's going to help you out a lot. I'm going to be able to talk myself into the options at six no matter what, but obviously we're hoping for a little bit better because there's a chance Culver or Hunter slip to there. And the other thing is Coby White and Brandon Clark, I really like as well. So if we're not getting one of those different
things. That doesn't feel nearly as good.
No, it doesn't. No, it's another rebuilding year.
This is a team that just needs something more than that. And I'm just going to keep saying ugh over and over and over again because the anxiety is starting to build. By the way, PSA, Justin and I are watching on a stream. We're just a little delayed, so we're synced up. Please don't spoil the chat. We're going to try not to look, but please don't spoil in the chat. We love you guys.
So you're telling me I should turn off my TV that's on live right now?
You absolutely fucking should, because I can't watch live in here.
But what if I tell you it?
That's worse.
Why is that worse?
Because I want to see it myself.
All right. You're going to have to take my word for it because I'm not going to be able to hide my reaction. So, all right. Man,
look at our boy Griff. Looking great.
Looking like a snack. Looking like my thumb if it was a snack.
Who is Raul Fernandez?
I don't know.
Gertz hit us with a wink.
Okay, so I'm a half second behind you. So,
wow. Really, I'm going to spoil it for you.
Yeah, now I'm tempted to turn my TV back on.
Don't do it, bro.
Okay, fine. So I think we're in agreement that if they do fall to five or six, you're not looking at a quick turnaround time. The good thing, though, is that if they do end up falling, and let's say they're bad, but they're not super bad, they're going to be where the Wizards were this year. And good chance. That puts you on the other side of the spectrum where we're worried about falling back because there's a great chance that teams are going to jump up. We're going to have a great chance of jumping up next year if that's the case. But then there's also a very real possibility that we end tonight with Zion Williamson, which felt like such a long shot. I haven't even mentally prepared for that possibility.
People are so going to be so mad at us. I'm going to enjoy every second of it.
Oh, man. Okay, here we go. Someone's walking out of stage.
Oh, it's happening, baby. From Ernst & Young. Where dreams come true.
My guy, Darrington. Okay, please.
What a weird day for Zion, you know? Like, show up and do nothing. That's your whole. You have no reason to be here, really.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that there's a lot of players here. So we're obviously hoping for pick 14 to be Boston, right? So yes. That would mean that there's no one jumping up. All right, Tatum. Tatum doesn't disappoint.
And there's Boston. Thank God.
Okay, so you are spoiling it for me, and I'm okay with that because
I will delay my reactions. Ooh,
okay.
A second.
It's very real right now. I got the jitters. Man.
I'm shook. I'm just going to start panic drinking.
Your boy shooketh. I feel like this isn't going to be as good for the podcast. Okay, Miami Heat. This is good-ish.
All right. Holding on.
I should have got Charlotte. Okay. And now we got Lakers. So this is obviously a big one.
No!
Oh, my God. The Lakers jumped in the top four.
God damn it. The shit's rigged, bro.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No. This shit is so rigged. They won the lottery, didn't they?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
This is painful, dude.
Wait, Hawks at 10. Doesn't that mean they fell back two spots?
They fell back one. They were at 9.
I should have got the tankathon odds up.
That is another jumper, I believe.
Wizards,
Grizzlies just jumped in.
Oh my God! Well, I guess that's a
big jump, bro. That's 8 and 11 jumping into the top four.
Oh God, we're going to be the six.
Pelicans jumped in.
We're going to be six.
Oh, this is
We're going to be six, aren't we?
I mean, it's honestly way more statistically likely that we're six than we're not at this point. And
all right, at this point, we're probably rooting for fifth, right? All right, if it's Phoenix Suns...
By the way, Boston lost their Grizzlies pick just now.
Chicago Bulls. Okay, that's good. They didn't jump.
All right. Here's the moment of truth, Justin.
Oh, my God.
Hmm.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Tatum, can you pick up the fucking card?
Oh, no, it's us. It's got to be us. Someone just texted me, fuck. Phoenix Suns.
Oh, okay.
We're probably five then.
One would imagine, but we are 27% chance to be five. It makes sense that we would be five. We're five.
Yeah, we're five.
Okay. That's a bummer. That's a bummer. The Lakers are going to win Zion, and that's so Knicks and Lakers in the top four. That hurts me to my core, Justin.
Oh, that's
one of these motherfuckers is going to get Zion, and that hurts me.
It
hurts me bad.
Ooh, it hurts the throat.
Well,
hurts the throat.
Yeah. Well, only three shots for you.
Know what I should have got? I should have got like a cider or something to wash it down.
Yeah, probably, but you're tough. You know, I respect you for it. I remember we were talking about before the draft, before the lotto, like who would be the team that would convince you that the lotto was rigged?
Yeah.
And or wasn't rigged specifically.
Oh, my dad's calling me.
Oh no.
He's definitely upset.
Oh, I'm getting hit as well. This is tough, man. I mean, there really is a chance if things break right that Culver is there while we wait in commercial to get the rest.
Oh, somebody good's going to be there.
I don't know about somebody good. There's a real chance. Really.
Well, let's rattle it off. So you got the top three. You got Zion. You got Morant. You got RJ. You got Culver. And you got Hunter. You're getting one of those. And there's a chance we want the Knicks to get four here so that they take Cam Reddish. That's what this comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I cannot believe these motherfuckers.
This is what's so depressing. We lost LeBron James and the Lakers got a better pick than us.
Fuck.
Like just let marinate in that. Marinate in that shit.
And if anyone is as good at Twitter as you are, a Lakers fan is in here clipping that clip right there.
Absolutely. You got to be. Our boy, Reichel, he's going to be very, very happy.
Well, Reich should probably, if Reich took out a hit on you and had you murdered.
It would be justified at this
point. I wouldn't say that he shouldn't go to prison, but ultimately, I think the court would understand and give him a lenient sentencing. He's not getting the death penalty for that.
At the very least.
You've been engaged in a program of targeted harassment.
Man, oh man, oh man.
And they're going to get they're going to get Zion, and then they're going to trade him for Anthony Davis, and David Griffin is going to have no fucking choice but to make the trade he doesn't want to make. Because Gale does not want to trade AD to LA.
Yeah, your boy is thrilled right now. Let me just say that.
My boy? You? I'm not thrilled.
This is a tough break. I mean, we knew that this was a realistic possibility.
This is why I'm still like so mad that these stupid motherfuckers let a bunch of bloggers dictate league policy.
You know what? I'm blaming Kevin Durant. I'm blaming Kevin Durant now.
I'm blaming bloggers.
No, because Kevin Durant to the Warriors took out any interest in who was going to win the championship, so people had to focus on something else, and their solution was lottery reform. Kevin Durant ruined the league. He took a championship away from us in 2017, and he took away the draft lottery, which is our bread and butter. The other thing is, it's time to move on from Nick Gilbert.
He's lost it. I'll say that. I'm not afraid.
Dan did his job. Dan hired a 66-year-old head coach to fill our vacancy and get rid of the lawsuit for age discrimination. Nick didn't hold his end of the bargain, and that is sickening to me.
You're absolutely right, Boom. I can't forgive the league for being so short-sighted, you know?
Oh my God.
Like, because not only did they make it unbelievably difficult for the worst teams to get better. They made it so the entire last month of the season was completely worthless.
Oh my God. Because
instead of two or three teams that were already bad, that nobody was, or people were already weren't watching, they made, yeah, they already are still tanking, but now you have the league's middle class tanking. You have the Lakers shutting down
LeBron. Their strategy literally did the opposite. Lakers fourth, thank God.
Thank the Lord.
Let's go.
I mean, there's still, I mean, if the Pelicans win though, that, I mean, first and fourth is not bad.
Knicks are third. Okay. I'm watching live now. I've abandoned.
Oh, you fucking dick. Yeah, I
Memphis think that... Pelicans got Zion. How about that? Oh
my God.
Our boy Griff. Would we have got Zion if we still had Griff?
It makes you think. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's a bummer because no one cares about the Pelicans. Sorry, Mason.
You know what? They might now, though, because they're going to get a great return. They're going to get a great return for Anthony Davis because Griff's going to get them a great return, or they're going to keep Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just can't care about that. That's like... that's going to the true wasteland.
You know what? Well, this is... Here's what happens. So this kills Boston because Boston's leverage was going to be getting a good pick and using that with Tatum. I don't know what Griff's holding up right now, but it's probably something, some sort of lucky charm. But, man, so Boston's screwed because Kyrie's leaving. And they have no way to really trade for Anthony Davis. They're going to have to rebuild. So now I guess we're kind of looking at options, see who falls, see if the Knicks do anything stupid that's going to open up opportunities for us. And the other thing is, pardon the burp, that's that alcohol coming back up. The other thing is we might be able to, if Boston's kind of tearing it down, maybe you take Hayward's contract off their hands and get a pick. I mean, this isn't great for us. This isn't great for us, but this isn't as bad as it could be because you got the Knicks in third. They're always, always, always on the board to do something stupid. And we'll see what happens from there. Maybe the Garland pick comes at Memphis. Who knows? Because they're going to need a point guard for the future. Maybe the Knicks go that route if they strike out on Kyrie. There's a lot of options.
Yeah, I mean, this is – so – I think objectively, we're all bummed that the Cavs fell three spots. I think we can all agree that that sucks. And now they're probably going to get a significantly worse option than they would have had if they had it, if they landed it too. We get that.
Yeah.
But with that said, this was a great, as good of an outcome as it could have been with the Knicks and the Lakers in the top four.
Oh my God. I can't believe the Lakers jumped.
Yeah, but bro, I mean, imagine if they got Zion. I mean, all these other guys, like...
I know. Four is the best case scenario. Like, four is absolutely the best case scenario.
If they had to jump, this was like, well, I guess that's fine. Like, it still stinks, and, like, it's hard to see them picking ahead of us.
Lakers jumping and the Pelicans drafting higher is fun. Like, that's good. I like that. I can get
some... Yeah, but I mean, again, the Pelicans can... I mean, there's a lot of value still in the fourth overall pick. And to be able to go back to your fans and say, we have the first and fourth overall picks in the draft. That feels better than a lot of the other options. And I don't know. I think a big factor in this is what the Clippers do this offseason for when they're chasing Kawhi in free agency. Like, if they get Kawhi, then maybe you trade the rest of the war chest over to New Orleans for AD. It matters if Kawhi stays. If Kawhi stays, then the Raptors can offer Pascal Siakam. They can offer OG, who, you know, didn't have a good sophomore year but is decent, and you can offer, you know, the next nine first-round picks, whatever it takes, and rebuild around those two stars in Toronto. So there are options, but I will say in a lot of ways, I don't know if they're going to get a better offer than the fourth overall pick.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, the Lakers offering fourth overall, and oh, man.
If you're the Knicks, you should be trading. You should offer three.
Yeah, you should absolutely offer three there. The thing that concerns me, This is actually a really weird order in terms of who's going to be picked where. Like, we know Zion's going to the Pelicans, but what Memphis does is going to be interesting because obviously Conley isn't there as a future piece, but no, I could see them. I can still see them taking Morant there, and I can see them taking RJ there. Then the Knicks become a wild card, and because they could do anything, I mean, my nightmare scenario is now RJ falling to the Lakers at four. But
stop.
Yeah, I do not want to have to buy a Lakers jersey, but I will. I mean, I would wait to see if it gets traded to the Pelicans first. I would wait to see if RJ ends up on the Pelicans first, and then I would hope that the Pelicans get a better jersey. But I'm absolutely buying an RJ Barrett jersey. I'm a little gutted that it's not going to be a Cavs jersey.
Yeah, I understand, and I'm sorry for you because, you know, this is like, that was your dream, and you know, this was everything. This guy seems to be a lot of the things that Andrew Wiggins isn't, as much as dumb people want to compare the two. It doesn't seem to line up to me at all.
Yeah.
What is worth noting is that Culver still might be there at five. Now, I think
there's a very, very, very realistic chance that we get Jared Culver now.
Here's what you hope as a Cavs fan right now is that you hope someone in the top four absolutely falls in love with Darius Garland during workouts.
Yeah. And to me, the team that would do that is Memphis.
Yeah, I think Memphis or New York. I mean, if Memphis takes Ja, New York, if they hold on to their pick, might chase someone like Garland. I really don't think Reddish is going to go top three.
Here's the thing. So there's a lot of yee potential here where you can have Cam Reddish hitting shots in an open gym going up against a chair. And
yeah,
I think workouts are going to be
really tricked by the size and the touch.
I mean, his skill set put with a different mind is one of the highest upside players in the draft, which is why in the scenario we're outlining here, I'm terrified about RJ falling to the Lakers. I think that they would end up trading him, but who knows? We've seen weirder things happen on draft night. It's just going to be really interesting to see how the Cavs play this, whether they try. So now we're starting to get into that territory that we had talked about earlier, which is with us not picking as high, there may be more incentive for us to trade up to the middle of the first round and try to take a swing on like a Nazir Little or someone like that. Because
yeah,
at this point, we're trying to get role players to kind of round out the roster. And
my problem with the trade up, Justin, is I still don't understand what the Cavs can offer to sweeten the deal on a trade up. I mean, they traded for a war chest of seconds.
It's basically taking salary off a team's hand. You're looking at teams like Charlotte and Detroit, and you're saying, hey, we can alleviate some of your issues, especially if Kemba Walker leaves Charlotte. Obviously, with the Phoenix Suns not picking very high, I think they're going to be in a really tough spot, and they're going to target Kemba Walker. They're going to target D'Angelo Russell. They're going to try to get a point guard through free agency, and they're going to be a big player there. So I think you're looking at one of those teams in the middle of the first round that have some bad contracts that they want to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but it is worth noting that they are up against the luxury tax right now. And it is also worth noting that there's a world in which the Cavs could, if they wanted to, force a trade up by buying an extra first round pick with the J.R. Smith contract. And then if they really fucking love RJ Barrett or someone like that at two, I mean, if they pick up another first for JR and throw all three picks to get up to two or three spots, I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it's likely, but like there's a real world chance in which this Cavs team is picking three first rounders this year. I'm not super comfortable with that still. Because I don't really like the idea of having – I don't really want to be the new Phoenix Suns where your entire rotation is 19 years old, so you lose every single game, whether you have the talent advantage or not. But there's a chance that this team has a lot of additional youth on the roster.
Yeah, and the other thing that you got to take into consideration, you those trades on draft night are tough. You want to make sure that you're getting it in that window, and distribution can be tough in general. And when you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. It's time consuming, it's expensive, and there's so many carriers to choose from. How do you know you're making the right choice, Carter?
I don't know.
That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. ShipStation helps you get orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, or your own website, ShipStation brings all of your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. And right now, Blue Wire listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use promo code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering in your credit card information, Carter. ShipStation works with all major carriers and characters, including the U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, and UPS, even your Amazon fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers.
No wonder.
You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com. Then enter promo code BLUE. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
I like it when the Reeds, I don't want to go too inside baseball here, but I like it when the Reeds make you say the URL like 97 times in a row.
I think it's a nice touch. I like it.
It really nails it down, because let's be honest, 95% of the time we're really struggling through these.
Oh, absolutely. And I did that one while dead inside, which is a bit of a feat for myself. So that's good. Honestly, this could have gone a whole lot worse. I think six would have been defined as a whole lot worse. I know it doesn't feel like it, but...
Oh, it would have felt a lot worse, because you're not getting Hunter or Culver at that point.
Well, I think you still would have had a shot at it. But
unlikely, though.
There's been good picks at five. I think the history of five is a little more encouraging than the history of eight. So we're working towards it. And hopefully you get a healthy year this year out of Tristan and Kevin Love. The one thing that I think is worth noting is none of the guys that you're going to get at five are really going to be ball dominant enough that I think that they would hurt the development of Colin Sexton. So whether or not he's going to be kind of a major piece for you moving forward, I think it's going to be a good situation to develop him. You're likely getting someone that is complementary to him, and you can kind of figure it out from there. And I think this all, unless there's something surprising that happens on draft night, I think this all but kills any chance of being a playoff team next year, which probably was a bit of a long shot to begin with. And we're going to be doing this again next year, where we're hoping that we jump up in the lottery and that we get the lucky break that Memphis had, because under these new rules,
Luck is all that matters under the new rules.
Right. We're going to be in the opposite situation. We're going to be in a spot where we probably aren't going to fall back more than one spot, and there's a decent chance of us jumping up, and Tankathon's going to be a whole lot less depressing when you're on the other side of the equation.
Yeah, you can talk yourself into stuff. I don't know. Like, the nice thing, I think, if we're trying to put silver linings on a package that, you know, we're admittedly bummed out about, I think.
Yeah, we're making chicken salad out of chicken shit, right?
Yeah. But there is a degree of, like, listen, we both stated that we just want this franchise to run in a competent fashion. Mm-hmm. And they haven't run in a competent fashion the last couple of years. They haven't looked particularly good. They've been very messy behind the scenes. And you know, maybe the slow build is what the franchise needs. You know, maybe another savior. Yeah. I mean, obviously we all want Zion, and it's a bummer that we didn't get Zion or RJ, but, like, you know, maybe it could be fun watching this team work its way towards being competent over time, as opposed to this, like, 'cause we didn't get that. We have not gotten that in a long time. LeBron made this team really good, really fast in 2008, in 2004, 2005. And then when he came back, they went from cellar dweller straight to championship expectations. Like, we really never get to see the cool gradual build that, you know, a team like the Raptors has gotten to see. And, you know, while that fan base would profess to be kind of tortured in some spots, and yeah, they are, they've also gotten to see really, really good basketball the last several years. And I've said this a lot, but as I've gotten older, I've gotten less title focused, mm-hmm. and I've gotten more, I want the thing that I spend three nights a week doing to be fun more often than it's not fun.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be more fun next season, which it's not going to be a whole lot. It's not going to be that difficult to do that. The other thing is, I really hope, and the one takeaway that I wish on all of our listeners and anyone that you guys talk to, just spread the word. When you are complaining about wins in goddamn February, shut up. Because if we would have won more games, you would have been in Memphis' spot. Or you would have been in the Pelican spot. This is completely damn random at this point. And I do not want to hear about winning too many games down the stretch. Because Cavs fans and Bulls fans, they worried about it all damn season. And we got 5-6. So you know what? That's out the window. You don't have to worry about that. Just worry about your team playing well and doing well, because you have no idea how this is going to play out. This is a complete crapshoot now. The old odds are dead. Just enjoy your goddamn team.
Eat Arby's.
Eat Arby's. Absolutely eat Arby's, which is not a sponsor.
No, it's just a nihilist Arby's joke.
They could be. I mean, I know it is. But because we had a sponsored ad read, we need to fill some of this content so that it's close enough. Like, it's never going to be the middle. We're not doing a three-hour podcast, but they want a mid-podcast read. So we need to do a little there.
Talk about peeling back the curtain there, Justin.
You know what? I'm honest. People know us for transparency. Also, speaking of transparency, you doubted whether we were going to get over 20 viewers. We got to 241.
Yeah, that's – we hit 241. We peaked at 241. That's amazing. Yeah, that's really, really cool. This has been – you know, I think as, like, we transition from one year into the next, I do think it's worth kind of noting as we – in our upcoming season – that this has been a really cool year for us on the Chasedown. We started our Discord back when we were still doing our Patreon before Blue Wire picked us up. Love Blue Wire, by the way. Big shouts to Blue Wire. Love you, Kevin.
Shout out to our guy, Kevin Jones.
You know, I think that, you know, we started that as just like, we need a way to come up with some kind of perk for people that are paying us money to podcast, to give them some kind of bone. As we've gone corporate, you know, we just made it so anyone who reviewed the pod can get in. And this, the Discord was just on fucking fire all day. Everyone was having so much fun, leading up in anticipation of this stupid lottery. And it's just a really fun community where we can kind of all just be fans. We don't have to worry about being smart or, which I never have to worry about. We don't have to worry about, you know, being this, like, you know, because Twitter is such a gotcha bullshit all the time.
Yeah.
And like, just getting to be a fan for a while unencumbered has been really fun.
I went with the cell phone. I had to retweet my tweet from last week where got to get these jokes in now before the league gives the Lakers a higher pick than the Cavs on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, I can't help the fact that I'm never wrong. And I'm going to predict that Jared Culver is a Cleveland Cavalier. That is my prediction. I feel pretty good about the chances of the Cavs getting Jared Culver. And I can get excited for an opening day lineup of Colin Sexton, Jetty Osman, Jared Culver, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson.
Yep. Ideally, this team grows and plays a little bit more modern on offense and plays any defense at all next year. And pretty much no matter who they draft, that should be the case. Like, even if they go crazy and pick Reddish, which, fuck, I hope they don't. Like, he's at least been a decent defender this year. So whoever they run with, it should make this team better. It just won't be better in the ways we were hoping for them to be. And, you know, that's going to be an adjustment that we're going to have to kind of own and acknowledge. But in the meantime, it sucks.
I mean, at the end of the day, so yes, the Lakers got LeBron. They got a better pick than us.
But they didn't get a George Hill.
They didn't get a George Hill. They don't have a better owner than us. And somehow we were a more attractive coaching destination. And we got a better coaching hire. We don't have Jason Kidd waiting behind the scenes because they were too careful. Can we just talk about that for 1 second? The fact that they're like, we can't hire this guy because of his domestic abuse history. We can't have him be the head coach, or at least not directly. We're going to have him be the assistant first. That is one of the wildest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
It really begs the question, what kind of monsters do they have on the staff in LA that are just in less visible positions?
Well, we found out that, we know that Rambis is going on behind the scenes. So he's got his casting couch trying to find the best D-gens for the organization. Phil Jackson's back there. So he's probably doing some weird stuff.
Who loves LeBron, by the way.
Loves LeBron.
This is an organization that they thought that the lesson of all this was, maybe let's not kowtow to LeBron too much. And it's just like,
they don't want LeBron. That's what it comes down to.
They don't want them on the team.
They like the idea of LeBron, but then they want to act like they're bigger than him. And that's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, that they genuinely, if you really push them, would tell you as much, that they are not interested in what LeBron James has to offer to an organization. They wanted a mascot. They wanted an indicator of a return to relevance. Mm-hmm. But they didn't realize that this isn't LaMarcus Aldridge. This is a player who has done more for player agency, for good or bad, than anyone maybe in league history.
Yeah.
At least, in modern league history. And the fact that they didn't know that that's what they were getting is just even more evidence that this is a completely out of touch organization that does not deserve almost any success that's going to come to them in the next couple of years. And, that's the nice thing. That's exceptionalism, is landing, giving yourself a much softer landing spot when you fuck up. And
more margin for error.
Anthony Davis, and they won't have earned it, but that doesn't really matter. But the nice thing about having bad ownership, and for them, or the nice thing for us as fans, that's a bit of a double-edged sword because our owner does the same thing, is when you have a bad owner, you can stumble into short bursts of success.
Yeah.
But it never lasts, because you're always going to be rotten to your core, and process always beats results over a long enough arc of time. And I think we're going to find that to be true about the Lakers. And what stinks about that is, even though you don't like him, I do. And I'm bummed that LeBron is going to sit in that garbage heap.
Listen, we're just finding out who LeBron is going to have on his farewell tour in 2 seasons when he joins the Cavs. So we know that the worst case scenario is going to be either Jared Culver or DeAndre Hunter. I can talk myself into either one of those guys.
Yep. The Cavs should be better next year than they were this year.
And we're going to get a player that fits. We're going to get someone that fits, because either of those guys fit right into what the Cavs want to do next season, and that feels pretty good. So it could have been a whole lot worse. We are getting one of the guys that we were high on. We're just going to find out exactly who we're getting. We're going to find out what happens with the J.R. Smith deal. There's still a whole lot to look forward to.
Cavs are not done.
No, they're not done, and just because there's not going to be as much of a instant improvement as we hoped, we are now on the curb up. We are working towards something. We're going to get talent. We're going to get an influx of talent. We're going to build around what we already have. We got a coach that should actually be able to maximize this roster in an interesting way, because he does run a interesting style of offense. It is predicated on the pass, and I'm really interested to see what he does with Kevin Love, Jetty Osman, Culver, Sexton, all of these guys. Larry Nance Jr. is going to be utilized in that way. So I'm really interested to see where this goes. And as Carter mentioned earlier, we really do appreciate all the support. I mean, the fact that as many people tuned in as they did, really, really encouraging. Remember, if you want to support the show, the best way you can do it is to subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, and tell people about it. The Cavs are on the come up. Tell your friends and family about us. Spread it, word of mouth really, really goes a long way. So we really appreciate it. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, which is our kind of exclusive community for the podcast, just send a screenshot of a review either on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast to chasedownpod@gmail.com. And we will continue covering everything that happens with the Cavs throughout this offseason and throughout next year. So thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to Carter for figuring out this whole Twitch live thing, because you're the brains behind this operation, and I appreciate
Unfortunately.
It. It's a low bar to clear, but you cleared it. And that's the important thing, because if you failed this, that would be really discouraging. That would be discouraging if you couldn't even clear the low bar that I've set for you. So thanks, Carter. Thanks to all our listeners. Until next time, go Cavs.
Love you guys.